Now, with me on the line, I have got Deputy Michael McNamara, who announced yesterday he is running for the European Parliament in the Ireland South constituency, which Kerry is part. Michael, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry.
Why run for Europe?
Because I think more and more of the decisions that affect our lives are being made in Europe. For example, when the Irish people voted for the Lisbon Treaty, there was an opt-out on justice and home affairs issue that includes immigration matters. The government have now announced, and Helen McEntee, there was a long discussion yesterday, committee wants to abolish that opt-out and opt in to various European regulations in that regard. So that's just another example of, effectively from now on, Irish immigration policy will be determined at European level. So I think we need people holding the decision makers there to account and feeding into the decisions there, because they, after that, once those decisions are made, they will have to be implemented in Ireland, and there won't be a discussion here on policy. Mm-hmm. Same is, of course, true around the nature restoration laws. Counties like Kerry and Clare would be much more affected by that if it was to come into being. It might not come into being, but it seems to me that every MEP in Ireland South have voted for that, but there's no funding stream in place. I mean, farmers around where I live in the Slievochtys and also down in the Limerick Kerry border would have had land zoned for the protection of the Hin Harrier area. There was an exciting project introduced, the Hin Harrier project, where they would not be able to carry out their normal farming practices in their lands, but they would receive funding because of that, because of the contribution they were making to the environment. That was all well and good.
That's
for
the whole
term,
idea. That's the whole idea going forward, isn't it? That's what we're being told.
Well, it is, except the funding was pulled. Mm. I mean, Charlie McConnell Logan, this government, ended that funding. And the important thing with that nature restoration laws, there's no funding stream in place. So it's all well and good to have the aspiration, but if farmers can't farm their lands, it needs to be, A, it needs to be voluntary, and B, it needs to be funded, so that effectively their businesses are not being shut down, they're not being effectively pushed off their land.
Yeah.
And again, that contribution doesn't seem to have been made at a European level, and that realisation of the impact of the aspiration, no matter how noble, it has to work for ordinary people. And I think we need representatives in Europe who are representing ordinary people and saying, yes, I don't disagree with what you're trying to do, but we need to be cognizant of how it's going to impact on ordinary people across Europe and across Ireland South and across Kerry and across Clare.
Are you against, in general, the Green Deal?
No, I don't. I'm not in general against the Green Deal. I mean, for example, we have a dearth of housing in Ireland. One of the biggest opportunities, it seems to me, for housing is units over commercial premises. In every town, in every city in Ireland South, the ground floor is being used for commercial premises. In previous generations, you had families living overhead them. Now they're empty overhead. I think the Green Deal should be used to help fund the renovation of those buildings and get families back living in them, to provide badly needed accommodation and breed life back into our towns and villages. Yeah. So no, I'm not against the Green Deal. The other thing is, of course, we have a massive potential for offshore wind generation in Ireland. The government talk about it. I heard our former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar talk about it. He said it was our moonshot. I heard him describe it as, but the government's doing nothing to exploit it. In fact, investors are coming here.
Well, maybe not fair to say nothing, but certainly it doesn't seem to be being done in a timely fashion.
No, I mean, like, we're not going to meet our existing targets, and we're certainly not going to meet it's not going to be a moonshot in my lifetime if it keeps going at the pace it's at.
So you're not happy with the elements of what's been done in the Green Deal and the Nature Restoration Law. You're not happy with the Migration Pact. Are you in favour of the European project in general?
Oh, no,
do you want to get into the inner workings of it?
No, sorry. I think it's to say I'm not happy with how they're being implemented, but the aspirations are a different matter. But we have to look more closely at how these things are being impacted on the ground. I mean, I, of course, like the vast majority of people, I think we need a better environment, and we need to be as self-sufficient as we can on energy. Like the vast majority of people, I want a fair, efficient, humane and speedy immigration system to make decisions. So to say I'm not happy with them isn't accurate, but we're not. That's not.
No, I'm just asking you about the European
project. The European project has been hugely beneficial to Ireland and has the potential to be huge. But if we tie everybody up in bureaucracy, we're going to turn them against Europe. Sure. We need to look at the goals of Europe, and we need to start moving towards those goals, bearing in mind how what we're doing impacts on ordinary people across County Kerry.
Isn't that one of the biggest, I suppose, existential questions for Europe, though? if you get elected, you're going to be going into a probably, if the polls bear out what's happening, a very different European Parliament. As some of the people and some of the populations who are being affected by the change, everyone agrees on the need to change, but nobody agrees on how it should be done or how quickly it should be done. Several of the people who get elected this time, some of them will be outright anti-Europe. They want to tear the whole organisation down. That's the atmosphere you might be going into if you get elected. Would that be a concern?
Well, I wouldn't agree with tearing it all down. I mean,
I'm saying several of the people, if the polls are right, and in terms of what some of the candidates have said and some of the people who are already in there have said, in terms of a move away from the Green Deal, in terms of outright wanting to close borders, that will be the tenor for a lot of people who are elected.
We have to look at why those people are being elected, and the reason they're being elected is because the aspirations are not being met. Like, the aspirations are not being implemented in a way that ordinary people on the ground feel served. I mean, it's been driven by a bureaucracy that is increasing, and the same is true of our own country, and the same is true even of county councils in this country. They're being driven by bureaucracies that are out of touch with the lives of ordinary people. They're creating more and more and more red tape that serves the needs of the bureaucracy but not the needs of the populations that those bureaucrats are supposed to serve. So we need to look at why this is happening, and we need to address it, because there's also this thing that you can't talk about certain issues. You can't talk about immigration. If you can't talk about something, then you drive people to the extremes.
Is that really the case, though? I keep hearing this from politicians and from protesters accusing the media of censoring debate. Immigration is being talked about. It's been talked about in Oireachtas. Your Oireachtas committee yesterday challenging Helen McEntee. That's available online. We've talked about that this morning on the programme and other issues as well. It's constantly being talked about. So I just don't get why there's this constant reference to debates being shut down, and then it moves on to the hate speech bill is thought policing. I just don't see it. I don't see that as a reality. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I have to disagree with you. I mean, I think the coverage of it is like, if you...
I don't see anyone being silenced.
More national media, but I mean, there's a tendency to label anybody who expresses any concerns, not to say that, look, not to be xenophobic, and not to be people who are not xenophobic, people who are not racist, but people who have a concern that, again, the system is bogged down. There's a vast number of people waiting for a decision from the Department of Justice on an application for permission to remain after they've come through the asylum system unsuccessfully. And if you ask these questions, there are people, there are media commentators, there are people who will say that you're wolf whistling or dog whistling or whatever, when all you're doing is expressing concern that if we have a system, the system should work.
Isn't part of the problem, though, with that is that some of the people who are outright racist and who do intend they want to shut the borders and they call people who come in here criminals and scumbags, every single one of them, that they're using that as a cover to say, oh, you're shutting down my debate, you're calling us all racist, when some of them actually are racist and are using that as a stick which to beat any criticism of them is.
Absolutely. There are racist. There are many people in society that I would disagree with. But that doesn't mean that any discussion of something, because if you shut down any discussion of something, you're driving everybody towards that extreme. You're saying you're all the same. Anybody who wants to discuss this is a racist. That's not true. That's not correct. And it's not accurate. And we do... Look, how many immigrants are working in Kerry? I don't have the exact figure, but a lot in Clare, in our hospitals, in our services.
We desperately need them.
In our tourism industry.
Need our labour force.
The reason that people are coming here is because they want to build a better... There are some people who are fleeing persecution. There are a greater number who want to build a better life. That doesn't make them bad people. And they're coming to Ireland because we have opportunities. But we do have to have a system that is efficient, that is speedy, that is humane and is fair, and that looks at what we need and what is coming, and to decipher who can stay here and who can't. We do have to have a system. That's not to say that we don't need people here. Of course we need people. And of course we should provide persecution to people fleeing war and we should provide refuge to people fleeing war and persecution. Of course we should. But if we have a system that's bogged down in delays, it's not serving their purposes, it's not serving our purposes.
And it needs to be worked on at the European level, which is why you're running. Michael, it's 21 candidates for 5 seats. It's resembling the Grand National at this stage.
Well, I mean, it often does, doesn't it? And I mean, a certain number of candidates will go out at the first, and a certain number, and there'll be a Beaches Brook somewhere along the line, and hopefully, I'll get to the finish line. That's all I can do. I mean, many's a favourite has fallen in the Grand National, and many's an outsider has won.
Are you confident? You have a high profile.
I'm hopeful, but how could you be confident in a constituency where there's a million voters? I mean, I'm a TD for Clare. It's a great honour. I've spoken on Kerry Radio many times before. I greatly appreciate that. I know Kerry, Limerick, Tipperary well. I've relatives across the area. But confident, I wouldn't be. Hopeful, I would be.
Okay. All right, Michael. Well, listen, thanks very much for talking to us about the issues that you want to focus on if you were elected this morning. And good luck with the campaign.